You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast on this Wednesday, February 13th, 2019. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review on iTunes if you do enjoy it. Yesterday, we talked about offensive free agents for the Jets, so today we're going to move our attention to the defensive side of the ball, and we'll talk defensive free agents, and we'll also talk special teams free agents, since there probably are not enough to do a full show on. Let's jump right in. So we'll start again with the exclusive rights free agents, and as we mentioned yesterday, these are guys who have been in the league 2 years or less, and the name exclusive rights free agent is exactly what it sounds like. The Jets have exclusive rights to these players. If the Jets want to keep these guys, offer them a contract, the only option these players have other than sign and play with the Jets is go to another team. You just do not have any rights as a player when you're 2 years or 1 year into the league. And you know, as I talked about on yesterday's show, typically if you have an exclusive rights free agent, he's a guy you're going to bring back, because that means that was a guy who was on your 53-man roster at the end of the season, and you saw enough on him to at least have him on your team. Now, once you get to training camp, the roster grows from the 53 you have in the regular season to 90. You bring 90 guys to training camp. So, I mean, by the time you get to like the last guys in camp, you're not really talking about players who are going to make who are likely to make a big impact for your team. So, you know, we're talking about guys who are probably around, you know, 53 or so. And maybe so. The one thing I'd say is that they're not necessarily 53 at the start of the season. You know, players get hurt, guys go to IR, so other guys get signed. So maybe player, you know, depending on how many injuries you have, these are still guys who are going to be low on your totem pole. And so generally speaking, you're going to want to keep all of them, because they're probably one of the top 90 players you can bring to training camp since they were on your roster at one point last year. So you look at some of the names. The first one, and we're using overthecap.com. They do a great job. Plenty of information at your disposal. They have a list of Jets free agents. The first one they have is Bronson Calfusi, and that's actually a guy I might not bring back. That's actually a guy I might not offer a contract just because he's getting up there in age. He's 27 already, which, you know, whenever I talk about a guy who like this and I say he's 27, people will say, well, he's not that old. The thing is, if you have not done anything by the time of you're 27 years old in the NFL, odds are against that happening, because you've gone through the years where players typically grow the best, so typically grow the most, show the most development in their game. You're already past that point. So if you're a good player, 27 may not be that old, but if you're a guy who's not proven anything, you know, you're not necessarily, you know, the odds are against you ever becoming a player. So that's a guy I might not bring back. Aside from that, you have Doug Middleton, Jeremy Clark, a couple of the secondary guys. You also have Frankie Louvu and Anthony Wint. So I have no objection bringing any of those guys back. Middleton has flashed at times in preseasons. You know, I think he's another guy who might be getting a little old. You know, he's a guy who's not necessarily a guy who's been around for a little while with the Jets. You know, he's been a staple of training camp the last few years, but I think he's flashed a little. I mean, again, we're not necessarily setting the threshold, and Middleton's 25, he'll be 26 during the season in September. We're not necessarily setting the threshold very high. We're not talking about, we're talking about essentially bringing a guy to training camp when you're an exclusive rights free agent. So we're not setting the bar very high. We're not expecting you to be a good player. We're just expecting you to be one of the 90 best players the Jets can bring to camp. And I think that's the case with all of those guys, from, you know, Middleton to Jeremy Clark, who was a late round pick a few years ago, Louvu and Wint, who, you know, Louvu flashed at times this season. I mean, there were some flashes from Frankie Louvu, and then Anthony Wint, you know, he had a few moments. So in preseason, I remember him in preseason. I mean, he wasn't a star level player, but he did okay in the second half of some of those preseason games. And again, that's probably what the threshold is. You know, like, we're not expecting any of these guys to make the team. It's not just that we're not expecting these guys to have an impact. We're not really expecting most of these guys to make the team. You're just kind of throwing darts at the board at that point. So now we move on to the restricted free agents, and these again are guys who have at least 3 years in the league, but probably less than four. You know, less than four. If you have four, then you're an unrestricted free agent. When you have three, you are a restricted free agent, which means the Jets can offer you a one-year contract. If the Jets do not offer you a one-year contract, you become an unrestricted free agent. You can sign with anybody. If the Jets offer you that one-year contract, again, you can seek offers from other teams, but the Jets can match the offer. And depending on how much the Jets' one-year contract offer is, the Jets may be entitled to compensation if the other if they choose to not match another team's offer. So you could be looking at a draft pick, which kind of scares other teams off, because the other teams are like, well, I don't want to give up a draft pick for this player and give him a contract. Jets only have one restricted free agent on the defensive side of the ball, though, and it is a guy who I haven't really heard of, to be honest. And I do this podcast every day, and I write on GangreneNation.com every day. Destiny Veau, I think I'm pronouncing that right. He's 25 years old. He's an interior defensive lineman type, a 300-pounder. He was briefly promoted to the Jets active roster right before the last game of the year from the practice squad. He was on the practice squad. He also spent some time with the Philadelphia Eagles. So he apparently was, I follow the Jets, and I guess that's why I've never heard of him, is he was only on the active roster last year for the last game of the season. So he was elevated late. He was one of those late season additions, and you'll see teams do that. You know, teams get very liberal, especially when they're out of the playoff races. They'll get very liberal with putting players on IR, because that's a player you can call up from the practice squad. And once you call the player up from the practice squad, that means they become exclusive rights free agent. That means you hold their rights. Whereas if they end the season on the practice squad, they're just a free agent. They can go sign with anybody. They're an unrestricted free agent. So, this is not a player I think you would tender. I don't think you'd give him a one-year contract offer. I think you just let him become an unrestricted free agent. And then if you want to bring him back, you bring him back on the minimum. This is not a player who really has much of a track record in the NFL. So I think that one's pretty simple. That's a guy who I'm not giving a one-year contract offer to. I'm letting him become an unrestricted free agent. And when you do that, when you decline to give a restricted free agent a one-year contract offer, you can still sign them. You can sign them for less money. You can sign them for the minimum. And that's what I see would be the move in this case if the Jets like him enough to bring him back. Locked On Jets podcast on this Wednesday, looking at defensive free agents for the Jets. Yesterday on our show, we talked about players who were hitting free agency on the offensive side of the ball for the Jets. Today, now we're talking about players who are hitting the free agency on the defensive side of the ball. And we'll start off at the corner position, and we look, Maurice Claiborne's a guy who's hitting free agency, just finishing his second one-year contract offer with the Jets, and in my view, this is not a priority free agent. It's a guy who started fast and did not end the season all that well. He played probably some of his best ball when Trumaine Johnson was out, when he slid over to the number one corner slot, which is kind of ironic, because when a lot of people this offseason thought Claiborne would really benefit from Johnson's presence, because then he'd be the number two corner. He'd take on the second best receivers on other teams. He only played his best ball, though, when he was the number one guy. But then, he struggled later on in the season. And he's a guy who's always been battling injuries. This guy's not a priority. I think this is a fallback option for the Jets. I could live with giving him another one-year contract. This is a guy I would never commit to more than 1 year. I just would never do it. This guy does not have enough. He's never put together a full 16-game season. I mean, he's essentially shown you the last few years that you can count on him to play really well for a bunch of games and then really poorly for a bunch of games. Usually he gives you a strong first half of the season, then maybe he gets a little banged up and he just does not play very well the second half of the season. So, a couple of good games, a good first half is better than a lot of corners will give you. So if, the other options don't materialize for the Jets, and you're looking at this or just a guy off the street, I mean, this is better than the guy off the street, but you can't commit to him for more than 1 year. He's just does not have the track record in this league. He's been a guy who really has been a disappointment. If you remember when the Cowboys drafted him out of LSU, he was supposed to be the next great corner in the NFL, and he's salvaged his career over the last few years. He's turned himself into, he's at least put together an NFL career, whereas, early on, things were not looking so great for him. He looked like he may not even amount to anything in the NFL. He's amounted to something, but that something's not all that great. So he's what I consider a fallback option at the corner position. Now you look also at corner, the Jets have to figure out two of their top three corner slots, because of their top three corners, only Trumaine Johnson's coming back. Now, that may not be such a bad thing, because the Jets struggled at corner so much a year ago, but now Buster Screen, the slot corner. There's only one way I'd bring Screen back, and that's if it was close to the minimum and he's just kind of a guy, extra guy to compete against Perry Nickerson. See, I think the Jets really need Nickerson to step up. As I say in many, many instances, you need cheap guys late rounds in the draft somewhere on your roster to step up and give you performance, because just with the salary cap, with the fact you only get one first round pick, one second round pick, one third round pick a year, they're just spots that have to be filled by late rounders. Otherwise, nobody else is going to do them. So the Jets really need Nickerson to step up, and he sees that slot corner position. I don't think he played that well as a rookie, but he was a sixth round rookie. What would you expect? So I think the Jets are hoping he'll step up. I think in an ideal world, you'd like to bring in some other veteran option to at least give yourself another shot. We know what Screen is. We know, again, Screen's not great. He'll give you, like, it seems like he'll give you one great game for every three or four lousy ones he plays. He's a high volatility player where he can go out and play a stellar football game, but he can also lose you the game, and he loses you more games than he plays great in. So, I mean, I would only bring him back if he came very cheap, because, again, he's probably a step up off a guy on the street. So if you can get him for cheap, that beats the cheap guy off the street. But outside of that, I'd look in a different direction. I think that was a signing that I think the Jets liked him better than I did, better than most of us did, but I don't see it. I don't see him coming back. I don't think the contract they signed him to back in 2015 was that good of a value. So I'd be inclined to let Screen walk, except under the most fortuitous of circumstances when we talk about a contract. Next up, Steve McClendon. And I like McClendon. I think that this was one of the better Mike Maccagnan free agent signings. I think I would even say this was a Mike Maccagnan free agent success story. I think he did a good job finding McClendon a couple of years ago. I liked what McClendon brought to the table. As I've said many times on this show, it's amazing to me that a team so starved for good players, there could actually be somebody who's underrated. And I really think McClendon spent much of his time with the Jets underrated. But if you look at this, he's getting up there in years. He's on the wrong side of 30. And more than that, you know, more than the age, because I still think he might be able to play effectively, he was kind of rendered obsolete later on in the year. It felt like Mike Pinnell kind of took his role over. So I don't know that McClendon really has a spot. I'd say thank you for three solid years. You know, there have not been many things that have gone well for the Jets over these last 3 years. You have, Steve, so thank you for that. You know, we'll have fond memories of you, but I think it's time to move on. I think it's time to, you know, move somebody new into that starting role, maybe Pinnell, maybe somebody else, and use that roster spot to develop that would be used on McClendon on a younger player to help this team move into the future. Locked On Jets talking defensive free agents today, or at least internal defensive free agents for the Jets. We're talking unrestricted free agents, got unrestricted free agents to be. And now I'm going to group three guys together. You have Josh Martin, you have Brandon Copeland, Jeremiah Atachu. I'm going to say all three. These should be the fallbackiest of fallback options. That's not a great phrase, but I'd wait till after the draft. I'd imagine all three of them will be available after the draft if you cannot find an edge guy, which I hope you can. But I think the Jets need to get past this whole idea of bringing in the journeyman in his mid-20s to try and help fix the pass rush. I think that these three guys the Jets need to move on from. Martin had some moments in special teams at points in his career. Copeland, I mean, I've heard Copeland described as a success story last year because he had five sacks. I mean, five sacks out of the edge guy is nothing to write home about. Atachu was not a guy I thought who made a major impact. The Jets need to upgrade. The Jets need to get young, exciting players, young athletic players at that position, guys who can get after the passer. I don't think any of them can on a consistent basis. So I think guys like that are really just guys. Those are guys you sign to fill out the roster if you can't find anybody else. I'd like to see the Jets get better in that spot. After that, we have Rontez Miles, the backup safety. A great story. I mean, he came from a very small school. He made it to the NFL. He turned into a depth guy, but believe it or not, I mean, you think of him as a young guy, but he's 31, you know, he's 31 years old. And I just think that when we're talking depth guys, especially a guy like Miles, who seems to kind of fallen behind in the hierarchy at safety, and really only contributes at special teams. I think special teams is a young man's game because I want special teamers who are young enough to develop into their position. Special teams is something that gets you a spot on the team if you can succeed there. It gives you a chance to develop if you're a young player. Whereas Miles has never really grown past a depth guy / special teamer. I think that's probably, now that he's in his 30s, probably not going to happen. Probably not going to be anything more, which I don't want to insult him because I think where he came from, a small school where he came from, It's a phenomenal accomplishment to have a career in the NFL like he's had. But again, I think it's time to move on. I think you're looking for young special teamers should be easy to find, easy to develop, and they should be, in my view, young guys who have upside for your roster. Next up, we have Emmanuel Lemur, a guy the Jets claimed off waivers later on in the season. 30 years old. This is a linebacker. I'd like to see the Jets move on. I don't think this is a guy with much upside. I'll say the same thing about Neville Hewitt. I know Hewitt did some things on special teams. Now, Hewitt's younger. He's in his 20s. Of the two, I'd bring Hewitt back because I think he did a decent job on special teams, but I don't feel strongly about it because Hewitt's right at that age threshold where I think maybe he's a little too old to really develop into anything. So I'd say no to Lemur, probably no with Hewitt. I'd like to get somebody better in there. It's not the end of the world that they bring him back. Darrell Roberts, if they want to bring him back as a depth guy, I don't mind that. If he's like your number four corner, I think he's okay. I mean, he can't come back. I don't think he can come back as a starter, but he has his moments where if you need to lean on him for a short stretch, that's okay. So I don't have a huge issue with bringing him back as a depth guy, although I certainly don't hope he has a prominent role again. If you want to bring him to camp again, that's fine. He's not going to be guaranteed a roster spot. Hopefully you have better players who can knock him off the roster, but not the end of the world if you bring him to camp. Then we have Henry Anderson, who's our last defensive player. And, you know, people say, well, Jets are moving to 4-3, so there's no spot for him. I don't agree with that. I think Greg Williams is flexible. He's adaptable. He can handle a good player. I think Anderson was a solid trade that the Jets made last year. He did a good job for them, provided them with more pass rush than I thought they would. He did a solid. I'd bring him back. I mean, Greg Williams knows how to fit a player like this into his scheme. Greg Williams is not a pure 4-3 guy. He'll mix in some 3-4 looks. Greg Williams is the kind of guy who adapts to his talent, so I don't have a problem bringing Anderson back. I'm not sure I agree with the people who say, listen, maybe Williams feels differently, and we'll find out. But I don't have an issue with that. I think Williams would be fine with Anderson. I think Williams wants good players more than anything, so I think there could be a spot for Anderson. And finally, we'll go to special teams, and I'm going to say be a little controversial on special teams because there are two Pro Bowlers for the Jets on special teams who are free agents. They are the Pro Bowl return man, Andre Roberts, who I guess technically is a receiver. Maybe he should have been on our show yesterday, but I decided to list him as a special teamer. And then the free agent kicker, Jason Myers, the Pro Bowler as well, had a great year with the Jets. And I'm going to be a little controversial here, and I'm going to tell you I don't think it matters a whole lot. If you want to bring him back, I don't have a problem with that. But I don't think it's the end of the world if the Jets let these guys go. And here I'll tell you why. I've noticed something with the Jets. Is that this happens every offseason. Every offseason, people love the kicker. And they make dire predictions if the Jets let the kicker go. So one of two things happens. Either those people get their wish, the kicker stays, and the Jets are fine at kicker. Or they don't get their wish, the kicker goes, and the Jets are fine at kicker. It's very easy to find a decent kicker in this league. I see the argument made all the time that, you know, with Myers hit over 90% of his kicks this year. You're guaranteed. You want to keep the guy in place who you know can do the job. Well, there's no guarantee Myers is going to hit 90% of his kicks again. I mean, 90% is historically great. Do we think Jason Myers is a historically great kicker? Or do we think maybe he just got on a little hot streak this year and he's due to fall back a little bit? Now, I'm not sure Myers is going to be a disaster if they bring him back, but I think to expect him to hit these lofty heights again, that's not necessarily something that's going to happen. I'm not sure he's going to go 33 for 36 again on field goal tries. I think the odds are he's going to drop back a little bit. You know what's interesting is I've heard this point made over and over and over again is people talk about the Chicago Bears. They say, well, look at what happened with the Bears. The Bears know how important a kicker is. This is something I've heard from like five different people. Well, do you know what the Bears did last year? Is they signed Cody Parkey to a big contract because Parkey just had a 90% season. And then Parkey regressed. That's just how it works. You know, you have to consider that the sample size for any one season's kicker's performance is pretty small. It really is. You know, Myers this past season, again, 33 for 36. That's really good. That's over 90%. It is, in fact, to be exact, it's around 92%. I mean, that's pretty solid. You know what's a bad season for a kicker? A less than stellar season for a kicker would be around 75%. That would mean 27 for 36. So we're talking about 6 kicks over the course of an entire season. That's one kick less than every 2 weeks. That's one kick, you know, that's less than a kick every 2 weeks. So it's just that it's just a small sample size when you can't extrapolate these things over time. Yes, a kicker who is automatic would be worth a lot of money, but you can't tell me Myers is guaranteed to replicate that season, because the odds are very much against it. The odds are against Jason Myers being a historically great kicker. Again, I don't have a problem bringing him back, but you know, people say you have to be safe. You have to bring the guy. If you let Myers go, you may bring in a guy who slumps and who can't kick. Well, if Myers has a bad season, that might be him, because we've seen kickers leave the Jets, like Nick Folk, leave and have a bad season. There, I heard when the Jets let Folk go, one of the things I heard was, you know what you have in Folk. You bring in somebody else, they could end up costing the team games. What happened? Folk ended up being the kicker that cost his team games the next year, only it was in Tampa because the Jets let him go. So, do I have a problem with the Jets bringing back Myers? Absolutely not. I think he did a great job. He surprised everybody. I mean, nobody thought Jason Myers was going to be what he was last year. Nobody. I mean, nobody. I did not even think they'd keep him through week one when they signed him. I said, well, this is just a placeholder. Jets are going to get a better kicker in here. And the Jets kept him, and he ended up being great for them. So, listen, I don't have an issue with it if they bring him back, but I don't think it's necessarily as big of a deal. I think if the Jets bring back Myers, they'll be fine. If the Jets let Myers go, they'll also be fine. I think that's just how it is. And he probably will not approach the heights he did last year. And the same thing goes with Robert. I mean, Robert's had a career year. And frankly, the kickoff return position is becoming devalued in the NFL less and less. It feels like the league's just trying to eliminate kickoff returns as a whole. They're decentivizing it, so you see less and less kicks being returned. I don't think Roberts will be expensive. I don't have a problem if they bring him back, but I would expect some regression because he's not going to sustain a pace that he has not hit before in his career. It was a career year last year. You go down after a career year. Again, do I have a problem if they bring him back? No. I mean, he's earned a spot on this team, but I don't think it's the end of the world if they don't. That's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, and leave the show a good review on iTunes if you do enjoy it. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.